We present the news quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome to the news quiz. We start with a cutting from The Times.
More than 100 jobs have been created in the Portsmouth area by job centres taking on extra staff to cope with the rise in local unemployment.
And our thanks go to Mrs. Grace Holmes of Caversham, Reading, for sending us that. Now let's meet the teams. Would you welcome first, on my right, Richard Ingrams and Ian Hislop. Facing them, on my left, Alan Corran with journalist Gillian Reynolds. Before we start round one, here's a cutting from Optima magazine, sent in by C. Supran of Harrow.
Olympus Trip AF Flash. Not working, otherwise perfect, £30.
Which brings us, no coincidence, to Richard Ingrams.
Very funny.
Richard. Your question, who picked up the bill for the bear?
The bear is usually to do with Russia, am I right,
right,
Mr. Chairman?
Absolutely right.
Well, and the bill is a regular programme on the television device.
To do with the police force, it's not.
But not in this case, Richard.
It's to do with the American president.
That's right.
Hillary Clinton.
Mrs. Clinton, yes. As we know her. And writing out a big cheque for old Boris.
That's right.
To keep him in power, in supreme power, in order to preserve democracy. There you go.
It is President Clinton who offered cash-strapped Boris Yeltsin $1.6 billion in aid and a Hoover free flight voucher for the return home. The Vancouver summit was described by commentators as the greatest meeting of minds since Stanley met Ollie. However, the conference saw a marked decline in U.S.-Japanese relations after a reporter found a napkin bearing a message from Clinton to Yeltsin, which read, "When Japan tells us yes, they offer me no." The Japanese ambassador responded angrily with his own napkin. It was tied around his head and read, "Tora, Tora, Tora." Apparently it's a new computer. However, Ian, who wants to make Britain's future look like its past? Fat man with large rear.
Fat man with large rear?
Most fat men do have large rears, don't they?
Yes, I mean, it's sort of endemic, isn't it?
Well, it'd be odd if they were fat and didn't have one.
I'm built like that, actually. I am fat, but I have a wonderful bottom.
Someone wants to take us back to the last century. Now, which member of the government could that be?
It's the opposition.
Oh, right, the century before.
You know perfectly well what this is about. You're just refusing to tell me you're being difficult.
We're just stopping you being fattest.
This is the Labour Party's industrial initiative, intended to take commerce back to the good old days when Labour were in power, when there was cheap transport on the trams and the king paid taxes to the Danes. The document called Making Britain's Future is intended to make industry as good as it was in the 70s and included a proposal to bring back one of the Wombles as Prime Minister until it was pointed out we already had one.
Can we just say in the interest of balance that Douglas Hurd, what a gut bucket.
Paddy Ashdown.
Waldegrave, God, he's so overweight.
And Mrs. Bottomley, too.
Mrs. Bottomley?
Yes.
Huge!
Obese was the word that springs to mind.
I don't wish to be rude to anybody with a large bottom.
Charles Kennedy, 20 stone.
Gillian, your question now. Who had salt and vinegar rubbed into the wound?
This is not the unfortunate Mr. Watkins of Cumbrian, is it?
Yes.
The youth who, in a moment of vague abandon, not at all in keeping with his former image as a keep Wales tidy person, threw a soft drink can and a crisp packet out of his car window.
Right.
And was fined £1,200.
Exactly.
The nation mourned, all except for Paul Johnson, who said, frightfully good, frightfully good, yes.
Wanted to hang him.
Wanted to hang him. Curiously enough, the same person was behind the criminal justice bill as is behind the present educational furore, and that is Mr. John Patton, he of the bouffant haircut and the nipped-in waist. Can there, we wonder, be some connection?
Gillian, you've answered the question perfectly. This refers to Vaughan Watkins, who was fined £1,200 for throwing a crisp packet and a soft drink can out of his car window. The whole affair left a very nasty taste in his mouth, and that was before the court case. The mean-tested fine was assessed at £100 for the can and £100 for the crisp packet, plus a fiver for each E number. Vaughan realised the penalty was going to be a stiff one when, before passing sentence, the judge produced a small blue twist of paper and placed it on his head. And Alan, a piece of music for you.
And it's Stew Chan going to the front. Cabbage is second on the rail. Beautiful Linda is third by a length. And a beetle bomb. Around the first turn, Stew Chan is still in front. Cabbage is second by a head.
Cabbage by a head!
Beautiful Linda is third. And a beetle bomb.
Oh, I was enjoying that. That was Spike Jones with his version of the William Tell Overture. Your question, Alan, probably the easiest of the week, is where were the flags out for the big non-event?
I was there. I was there for the first time in my life. I actually went to Aintree.
There is a God.
I will tell you even better than that. I went to the guest of David Hatch. Oh, I'd never seen it before. And the tape went up, and all these buggers with red flags are running round. I thought, don't they normally use horses? I thought they should. But all the blokes with the red flags stopped when they got to the first fence. That's about all I know about it. No man with a white flag ran round. And the horses played no part in it at all. And the horses had all been walking round beforehand, these little blokes sitting on them, sort of dwarfs. I couldn't quite figure. And they were all wearing these silk suits, rather like young Patton, I thought. Well, these little men in silk suits were mincing about. And then a tape went up and these blokes with red flags started running. It's totally unfathomable. We had a lot of Japanese guests in the Martel Lounge as well. They were totally baffled. They threw themselves on their winning tickets.
Just for those who like this sort of information, David Hatch is a special advisor to Mr. John Burt.
Hence the silk suits for everyone, presumably.
Yes, it's all about the Grand National, of course, the betting fraternity's greatest disappointment since Ladbrokes refused to accept place bets on the charge of the Light Brigade. The event was on and off so many times, the organisers have secured sponsorship from the makers of Belisha Beacons. 30 horses panicked and ran off regardless at the second attempt, while little fat men in bowler hats raced about frantically waving red flags. No wonder they were so startled. It isn't every day that you see flower graders out supporting the Socialist Workers' Party. That is known as an alternative view of the situation. We've come to the end of the first round, amazingly, and the scores are Richard and Ian 2, but Alan and Gillian in the lead, unsurprisingly, with 4. We start round 2 with an item from the Daily Mail.
Katrina's uncle, Mr. Robert Scapper, said he was not aware that she was dating Prince Andrew. "This sounds highly unlikely to me," he said from his home in Woodbridge, near Ipswich. "She is highly intelligent. I can't see her having anything in common with him at all."
Well, thank you to Mrs. Pat Lucas of Epsom for sending us that cutting. Richard, we're back to your question time now. Why do we no longer have to watch the clock over the ticker?
This is a very good question. Ticker.
Sort of food, I'm given to understand.
I was thinking it was...
Type of food.
A type of food.
This is a new ruling about eating up time. There used to be a ruling about, in pubs, you're given 10 minutes or something to drink up if you've just ordered. And now in restaurants, they can't come up and say, we've just served you your main course, you've got 5 minutes to get out. They have to give you time to eat your chicken tikka masala and the dal.
But it's when the men with hoovers move among you, you know the moment has come.
They want to fly you off to India, do they?
Interesting.
Ian, you could not have answered it more neatly. Perfect in every respect.
You've just witnessed the first correct answer from me in about 10 series.
Well, you were so good on that. How are you on this one? Your proper question now. Who cruised back to her old game?
Who cruised back to her old game? I hope this isn't something tasteless about King's Cross, is it?
No, no, no. It's not about King's Cross. It's about...
The QE2.
What?
No, no, no. We're back to physical dimensions
it's
again.
It's Miss Whiplash.
Oh, Miss Whiplash!
Thank God they're getting minds from the audience now. It's like doing a show from outside the Pompidou Centre. It's ridiculous.
It's quite confusing because there are two Miss Whiplashes, as I understand
it. We want the fat one, the one with an enormous. Well, I won't go.
Well,
into
is that the one who was in
it,
Mr. Lamont's basement? That's right. Or is that the other one?
No.
No, but she's more amusing because you can get the name Lamont into the story.
I didn't
if
bring
you
it
work
up with
hard,
that.
You may be able to get it into this one as well.
No, I didn't bring it up with that in mind, Ian.
No, I know. You think he's suffered enough.
I do.
It's awful to see a man pilloried in this unfortunate way.
I was hoping for
clarification. Come on, back to the question.
This is a woman called Lindy St. Clair.
Oh,
right.
Yes.
The piece came in the paper saying Lindy St. Clair's disappeared, and we thought, oh, she's gone off on a publicity stunt, which, of course, she had. And she appeared on a cruise ship somewhere.
That's right. This is the return of Lindy St. Clair, the 16-stone Miss Whipsnade. Oh, sorry, Miss Whiplash. The leader of the corrective party disappeared from Beachy Head 11 weeks ago and reappeared disembarking off a cruise at Southampton Docks as the 50,000-tonne ship bobbed up a couple of feet. Miss St. Clair was...
serious protest from the Fat Brigade, aren't
yes,
there?
Yes. Miss St. Clair was now seen clinging to a large boy. She's now threatening... Punch 1893.
Yeah.
She's now threatening to expose and punish her many MP clients. So straight back to work for her, then. Gillian, your turn for a question now. Will you listen kindly to this?
It's raining men! Hallelujah, it's raining men! Amen! I'm gonna go out, I'm gonna let myself get absolutely soaking wet. It's raining men!
Well, that was called It's Raining Men by the Weather Girls. And your question is, Gillian, who have been giving themselves the V sign because they lack the V shape?
Oh, this is a springtime question. You always know it's spring when psychiatrists start coming out with, like, daft pronouncements. It's known as the saps rising. Right? And this is all about how men are terribly intimidated by the shape of the Chippendales. And men such as those surrounding me on every side tonight, and what a lucky little person I am. Oh, and that Alan Curran is just like a chip. I'll take it in a butty, please.
Oh, my God, this is better than the Antiques Roadshow.
Roll over, Miss Whiplash. Gillian Reynolds is here.
Well, then, it's all about how men feel intimidated by the perfect shapes of the Chippendales.
Absolutely right.
Absolute rubbish. Right. Ingram's turned up tonight in a jockstrap.
Who are the Chippendales?
This is the survey which claims British men suffer from low self-esteem because they don't look like Chippendales. The finding came quite a shock, especially to those men who thought a Chippendale was something beautifully preserved and comfortable to sit on. Alan, your question. Where won't you be getting the third degree?
Oh, there's another that bunch of fools at the Ministry of Education again, isn't it?
Right.
Obviously, having been at university only 6 years, I couldn't be expected to understand a word of what these fools were talking about. But the plan, I gather, is to have shorter university degrees done in 2 years so they can ship far more people through, have this enormous throughput, straight from school into the job centre, just pausing briefly at some place of further education where you can have a gown thrown over you. Something like that. It's probably that twerk pattern again, isn't it? Did he go anywhere? I mean, left school at 7, didn't he? Osage Primary and straight out into the world.
Good at geography. Need we say more?
Was he?
Yes, good at geography.
Well, I don't even find his arse with wing mirrors, but I mean...
Anyway, this is the proposed university shake-up, which plans to cut the time taken to complete a degree course from 3 to 2 years. Lord Flowers, chairman of the Committee of Vice-Chancellors, said responses had varied from Oxford's sod-off to Cambridge's more refined sod-off, please.
I
And the scores at the end of the second round are Richard and Ian 6, but Alan and Gillian still in the lead with 8. Richard, where is the sky the artistic limit? Do you know this?
No. Is it sky TV?
Sky TV and the word artistic aren't in a feature in the same question, are they?
This is very, very true. As peered at from below.
Richard thinks that this is something to do with an exhibition of art.
Yes, that's right, I do.
Some people would stupidly have thought it was something to do with Sky TV, but not Richard.
No, no, no. This is to do with an exhibition of art. I believe a number of paintings are on show.
Mm. There's a man cut a hole in the ceiling so you can see the sky. Is that right?
Yes.
And now that's an exhibit.
Yes.
That's just quite more interesting than watching Sky television, isn't it?
This is the Hayward Gallery's latest exhibit, A Large Hole in the Roof, where visitors are invited to look up at the sky. Although there were reports of cheapskate freeloaders refusing to buy tickets and standing around doing that outside. The sky piece is an example of artist James Turrell's blue period, occasional grey period with bright spells and intermittent sunlight. Ian,
yes?
Here's a piece of music for you.
Oh, we ain't got a barrel of money. Maybe we're ragged and funny, but we'll travel along singing a song side by side. Don't know what's coming tomorrow. Maybe it's trouble and sorrow, but we'll travel the road sharing our load. Side by side.
Gives you an idea of how old that record is. You could understand every word. Your question is this, Ian.
Yes, indeed. No loud drums. Sorry, get on with the question. What is it?
Your question is this, Alan. What looked
I'm Alan.
What?
If you ask... if you're asking me the question side by side, it's probably about Siamese twins, Barry. Is that it?
I just get carried away with the euphoria of it all.
I know we're going to lose anyway, but can you at least give us the question?
Well. What looked privately like carelessness?
All right, we don't know.
You give up, eh?
Oh, is this private police lark?
It is.
Some brilliant idea by the Treasury. They can save money if, instead of the police taking prisoners along to court cases to be tried, they get Securicorps in Group 4 and various other sort of ex-army men in grey uniform to do it for them. Mm. And the first day it was a terrific cock-up because one bloke escaped, a whole load of others didn't make it to court.
This was the private sector prisoner delivery service, Group 4, who managed to lose 2 prisoners in 1 week and delivered another late at court. Apparently he was short of cash to pay his driver and asked him to stop outside a post office while he got some after borrowing a balaclava and telling the driver to keep the engine running. Group 4 denied losing prisoners was due to the inexperience of their escorts and explained one inmate's last words before absconding were, "Would you like anything from the buffet car?" The Home Office also defended Group 4, saying they were doing a great job. They should have prison overcrowding solved in a matter of months. Gillian, why is daylight robbery now at a premium?
Paranormal forces are coming through to me.
Pay 37% more on your insurance, because there's a lot more burglary about.
Oh, yes, yes.
Abbey National is feeling the pinch, so it's going to charge you a lot more money for being turned over.
And every single newspaper has run huge features saying, shop around, they say. I did this, actually. You know, I picked up the phone, I shopped around, and everyone said we've gone up by 37%.
It's the news that household insurance is going up by over 30%. So if you find someone's knocked down your front door and made off with your life saving, it's most likely the insurance man. Another cause of increased premiums has been a recent surge in the number of people breaking into houses and leaving new Hoovers in the cupboard under the stairs. Alan, why can't a man sell what a man's got to sell?
I think it's the one about Jesse James, so-called because he tended to go around in these silk shirts. And, in 1882, Jesse James stood on a chair in order to straighten a picture. or iron his curtains, or whatever it was. I don't know why it was called Jesse. Anyway, I mean, his brother was called Frank. You could live with a bloke called Frank, but Jesse, didn't he? Frank was the straight one, but Jesse got up on the chair, and someone put a gun through the window and blew the back of Jesse's head out. This gun is now worth £100,000.
Right.
I don't know why, but the problem is that it doesn't actually belong to anybody, because it was in a museum and somebody nicked it.
You're absolutely right, Alan. This is all about Jesse James, the man who terrorised the Wild West with the bounty on his head. If he went round with a coconut chocolate bar tucked under his hat, man, no wonder they called him Jesse. The revolver which killed him is to be auctioned in Sussex after being valued at £60,000 at the Antiques Rodeo show. Meanwhile, Lewis auction rooms have had an influx of interested cowboys who've already half-built an extension and tarmac the drive. And the scores at the end of the third round are Richard and Ian 10, but Alan and Gillian still clinging on with 12.
No, thank you.
Before we start the final round, here's a cutting from the Isle of Man Courier, which has been sent to us by Valerie Cunningham of Port St Mary, Isle of Man.
Relief residential care officer required at Radcliffe Villas, residential home for people with leaning difficulties.
Richard, here's your piece of music.
Were as the Vincents, as so are they.
Since I saw thee on Ilkley Moor Badstand.
Were as the Vincents, as so are they.
Were as the Vincents, as so.
Were as the Vincents, as so are they.
If I come
on Ilkley Moor Badstand.
Where's that?
On Ilkley Moor Badstand.
Where's that?
On Ilkley Moor Badstand.
Well, that was on Ilkley Moor Bartat by the Yetis. Richard, your question is, who doesn't believe in acting the tyke?
I felt strangely out of things this evening, Mary.
But not on this question, which, again, you know. Because it's about Yorkshiremen.
Is it?
Mm, that's what you just said to me. I expect they edited it.
Yes, it's about Yorkshiremen.
And Sir Ranulph Twistleton Fiennes. He would go to the North Pole with anyone, providing they weren't a Yorkshireman.
Yes.
Whereas I would thought his record would suggest that one should go to the pole with anyone who's not called Twistleton Fiennes. Yes. Then he might get there.
Don't you think he's suffered enough?
He has suffered already.
No.
Fiennes, or also Ran as he's known, claims Yorkshiremen are dour and sound ridiculous, shouting mush, mush, to a team of whippets. Ian, a question now. Who has secured the sweet taste of success?
Ah, this is a very good one.
It's a man who's made a fortune out of sweeteners. Mr. Hermesitas.
No.
I think our man behind the Waitrose trolley knows this one.
Well, yes. I don't know.
Over to Alan now.
I'm constantly making a fool of myself. Is it Egon Rohne?
It is Egon Rohne.
Who's insured his mouth.
That's right.
For £250,000 at Lloyd's. That's a bit silly, really. I mean, nothing in the till when his mouth goes, but anyway. He's insured his taste buds. Because
that's right.
Of the tools of his trade.
This is restaurant critic Egon Rohne, who has insured his taste buds for £250,000 against damage from fire, theft and British Rail buffets. Lloyd's will pay up if Mr. Rohne convinces underwriters that his taste buds have genuinely declined. Apparently the phrase that pays is, that was a delicious pot noodle. Do you have any Limes World cheese? Gillian, your final question. Who have withdrawn a K-Reg meal ticket?
Oh, these are the monks of Prinash Abbey. The good Benedictines are enjoined by the rule of their patron saint, St. Benedict, to offer hospitality to anyone who comes by. Well, so many of us were turning up that they've decided to go back to the tea, bread and soup routine, after which custom strangely dropped off.
Absolutely right, Gillian. Well answered. It is the monks from Prinash Abbey who have stopped offering free hot meals because the needy were arriving in K-Reg cars. Brothers at the Gloucestershire Holy Eater became suspicious when the destitute began asking for the gruel of the day and attempted to book tables for the office Christmas bash. Alan, where don't they have the faintest idea?
Treasury, Education Department.
I think on the other side
would
be.
Such emphasis. This is something very pale, and this is people falling over. It's not goats again. It's not the goats that fell over in Texas. No. People are fainting.
Yes.
Absolutely no idea at all.
A lot of Egyptians are fainting. I mean, it's the weirdest story I've ever read. This is all about an outbreak of mass teenage swooning sweeping Egypt. One theory is that the epidemic started after a film was shown of the closest they got to the Chippendales, Wilson, Keppel and Betty. Hundreds of schoolgirls have been...
Can I just say, who are Wilson, Keppel and Betty?
Before we come to the final scores, let's see what cuttings the team have brought along. Richard, have you brought a cutting this week?
Yes, I'm sorry I forgot to bring one last week. This is a sporting cutting from the Aberdeen Crescent Journal. It says, Eric Bristow yesterday received an official warning for bringing the game of darts into disrepute at the Embassy Championships. The BDO has warned Bristow that if he behaves badly again, he will automatically lose a leg. Seems a little harsh, but...
it can be truly said he has suffered enough.
Yes, I would have thought so.
Ian, have you got a cutting for us?
Yes, I have.
I don't think it's very funny. No, he hasn't started yet.
It's a letter.
Yes, is it?
Yes, it is. From D. Jones of Northwick in Cheshire.
Yeah, he's suffered enough.
It says, your report on the Moonies' mass wedding stated there will be no mass honeymoon. Church rules forbid sex until 40 days after the wedding. That is not true. Sex is allowed within 40 days, providing the participants don't enjoy it.
Well worth waiting for, I would say. Gillian.
Mr. Peter Moth of Jesmond has written to ask me, was I amazed to hear on the week's good cause the other week Joanna Trollope appealing on behalf of the Lady Whore appeal? And I told him, I'm here to tell him, not nearly as surprised as I was to read in this week's Daily Telegraph of a girl who told school careers advisors she loved animals, who's been given a holiday job with a butcher. Donna Metcalf, 14, of Richmond, North York, said hoped to work for a vet or at kennels. Now she says she plans to become a vegetarian.
Quite proper too. Alan.
There's the front page of Thursday's Telegraph about the death of Alfred Butts at 93, the man who invented Scrabble.
Sad business.
The quote is, when I played him, he confessed that he was not a very good speller, and I beat him, said Mr. John Williams, president of the National Scabble Association.
Well, thank you. Now let's have a look at the final score. The scores are Richard and Ian have very well earned 12, but Alan and Gillian have stayed in the lead, have scored 15, and are therefore this week's winners. Well done. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from the Matlock Mercury sent to us by Liz Presky of Wingerworth, Chesterfield.
Matlock's town council have appointed a new clerk. Linda Hay, 40, from Matlock, is to replace retiring Gillian Heap on March the 31st. Her main duties will include servicing Matlock Town Council and general administration.
And on that cheery note, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Richard Ingrams, Alan Corran, Ian Hislop and Gillian Reynolds. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson and Robert Fraser-Steele. The producer was Louise Coates.